Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. We've brought you lots of very, very interesting people. And today I have a very good friend, Rajesh Jain, who is the India licensee of Lacoste. Rajesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for inviting me.
Rajesh is an MCOM, chartered accountant, and a company secretary. And he runs the Lacoste business in India. Rajesh, you're one of the few people who has transitioned from accounting to running a big business. Tell me a little bit about your early career, some of your learnings and your challenges.
Sure. So, Ashutosh, I completed my entire education like MCOM, Chartered Accountancy and Company Secretaryship in early 90s. And then I joined the largest management consulting at that time. That's called A.F. Ferguson & Company, which is now Deloitte. They're merged with Deloitte. And after spending a few years with them, I started my own consulting, a startup, as we call it, in the current parlance. So, and I ran it very successfully for about 11 years. Mm-hmm. And then we formed another startup that was named as Logiki Technologies Private Limited. And we started giving back office operations to the companies which were there in India at that time. And it was very, very successful because I think we were one of the very few companies who started accounting back office operations at that time.
Wow.
So one of our clients happened to be Lacoste in India at that time. And I was heading the assignment. As you know, that one of the directors heads one of the consulting assignments. So I was heading the assignment. And somehow it happened that I ended up joining them as CFO in September 2005.
Okay.
And it was a very good journey. I really enjoyed the challenges on the other side of the table because now I was in the thick of the things.
Yeah.
I had to really manage that. And then for about a brief period, for about 1.5 years, I moved out, went to another company called Leo China. And when my predecessor in this company was going out, I was called back and handed over this baton.
Okay.
Now, if I see the challenges that one faced during this entire period, I think the biggest challenge was around 2014, May, June kind of a thing, when e-com entered India. And they unfortunately, instead of capitalizing on ease and convenience and those kind of things on which they should capitalize, they started discounting, they started predatory pricing. And because of that, a lot of the competing brands, they also got into the bandwagon and they started discounting as well. Mm-hmm. And when they realized that their offline business is not doing good because they were discounting online, so they started discounting offline also.
Okay.
Now, we did not discount at that time. We believed that brand values is something we have to carry forward.
Correct.
So during that period, our growth was not as good as we were expecting and or as we were experiencing before that.
Mm-hmm.
However, what we realize now is that we did a very good thing because our perseverance, our brand values really paid off well. And in the last 1.5 years, we have started going pretty well now.
Wonderful.
Very happy with that. So the
car. So, you know, I've seen you grow. You know, we've interacted a lot when I was running Guardian Pharmacy.
Yes.
You know, we've run several panels. So I've seen the way you've built this business. You today have 52 points
of sales
you sell. What are some of the challenges of retail now in India? You have spoken about e-commerce.
Yes.
But retail itself is a tough business in India.
Indeed. In fact, I would say that there is no dearth of challenges in retail.
Correct.
You have challenges every minute there.
Yeah.
But if I were to pick out some biggest challenges, and one of the biggest challenges that we face, and if you would ask me this question 10 years ago, I would say the same thing that I'm saying, so it has not changed. The biggest challenge for an international premium brand like ours is availability or non-availability of premium retail space at the right cost and at the right terms.
I agree.
So the per square meter cost in India for a location is as high as you see any other part of the world.
Correct.
However, the sales and the throughput are not the same.
Yes.
So that becomes one of the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, discounting or predatory pricing by online channels, and another challenge is counterfeiting,
yeah,
or unauthorized sale by different guys for international brands. So these are the three biggest challenges, is what I would say.
True. So, you know, coming back to your question that you raised about real estate.
Yeah.
I remember I used to have the same problem.
Yes.
Every 3 years, the rent would go up.
Absolutely.
But the revenues would not be able to keep pace with that. Do you see any change happening in terms of revenue share agreements now?
No, I don't think so. In fact, it's only going up.
Okay.
And it's not after 3 years now, even the, because the, there's a scarcity of premium retail development, and we go only to premium retail development. Because of that, the rentals and the revenue share, etc., they're actually only going up.
Mm.
However, how we handle this is that we follow something called selective distribution network throughout the world,
okay,
where we choose each and every door very, very carefully. We ensure we choose that are right, we are in the right adjacencies, right kind of TG or customer should be there. And because of that, we are able to survive. We are able to really make it successful business despite all these high rentals.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting. So, you know, as you were scaling up, you know, one big problem I've seen of retailers, and I faced it in Guardian, is that when you start to scale up, you know, when you've got 5, 7, 10 stores, you can look at it personally. But 52 locations or 52 doors that you have, what were your challenges in scaling up?
Apart from non-availability of premium retail development, as I said, I think the other challenges, I could mitigate it to a great extent because I have a very, very committed team with me.
Okay.
So, one, I would ensure that every new door that we'll open, I will personally go and visit, even if the mall or that location is under construction. Because being a retailer, you would also realize that once you go, there is something in the air that, you, that makes you feel that this will be successful or this will not be successful.
Absolutely.
So that helped me a lot, and plus the committed team that I have, they would ensure that we do the right kind of catchment study, they would ensure that the right kind of brand adjacencies, all those things are present, otherwise we wouldn't go. So being fortunate, I have remained fortunate, I would say, that having this kind of a team.
Wonderful. So, you know, you speak about building a complete lifestyle brand.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Okay. So if I talk about Lacoste, Lacoste was formed or started operations in 1933 when Henri Lacoste, our founder, he invented polo, and that too with a logo outside a garment. That was for the first time in the history that logo appeared outside a garment. And polo also was his invention. At that time, we were considered a polo-centric brand.
Okay.
In fact, this has completely changed in the last couple of decades, where Lacoste is a complete lifestyle brand now. Not only in polo, we do everything in apparel.
Mm-hmm.
We are into 8 categories.
Okay.
Apparel is the largest selling category, followed by footwear, leather goods, perfumes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have wristwatches, sunglasses, underwear. And there's one more category which is not there in India, which is home linen.
Wow.
Now, these are the categories that takes care of the most occasions for any person for building his lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we also ensure that we manufacture all these things for all the three genders, whether it's all the three, whether male, female, and kids.
Okay.
That makes it a complete lifestyle brand.
Right. And with such a large number of items, inventory control must be quite a nightmare.
It is for any retailer. However, thankfully, we believe a lot in doing the data analysis,
right.
Although, of course, we are not as good in data analytics part as some online companies are.
Yeah.
But we do our own methods. We project our sales and inventory based on a lot of data, our experience, expertise, and our feel also. Because of that, our inventory is in a great control. We are sitting on a very good inventory aging. What as a brand we also do is that after a few seasons, we write off the complete inventory and we actually cut it off so that it cannot be misused.
Because that's something, you know, I'm speaking to some other fashion brands,
yes,
on our show. And I think one of the biggest challenges you have
is the inventory.
Is inventory because fashion changes.
So it's I also feel the same that for many other brands or retailers, inventory and debtors are the biggest problems.
Right.
We have been able to manage it quite well, I think. Maybe some of my financial background also helps me there.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, you just spoke about you being fortunate to have a very strong management team.
Yes.
For the hundreds of thousands of people who will listen to you and will hear you, what goes into making a strong management team?
Okay. So, first of all, I would like to say that I personally believe that my biggest contribution to the business is in building a great team, a great committed team.
Correct.
How, first of all, the choosing the team. What I ensure for every corporate member, I personally interview that person, any new joinee. What I see in that person is that apart from having the knowledge and skills needed for that particular job, the biggest problem, the very first filter that we have is the right kind of attitude. I know for sure that if the person has the right kind of attitude plus the basic knowledge and skills of the function, we will be able to train him for our kind of work.
Okay, so let me stop you for a minute.
Yes, sure.
What is the meaning of right kind of attitude?
So, okay. So, if somebody is high-flying, somebody doesn't come across as a person who is committed to the work and rather is more interested in the money part only. Money, I'm not saying is a dirty thing. It's a very good thing. It's a great motivator. But if somebody is only and only interested in money from growth perspective, etc., so we take it with a pinch of salt. Plus, the person should come across with the right kind of attitude in the sense that when he's presenting himself, he should not be very high-flying or he should not be talking to you or to anybody. I mean, you can actually gauge that that person will be able to gel well with your team or he will be an outcast.
Okay.
So, those kind of things we ensure at that time.
Okay.
Once the person is on board and apart from that person, the other team members also, I personally believe in motivating and giving growth opportunities to the team.
Okay.
We believe a lot in internal growth. Mm-hmm. And the reason is pretty fine because I myself got growth within the company. I have financial background, a back-end guy, but I'm sitting on this chair today. Mm-hmm. So I have no right not to give internal growth to other colleagues.
True.
We keep, depending upon the performance of the colleague and depending upon their inclination, we keep rotating their jobs also. So a back-end guy might come into a front-end, a front-end guy might extend his wings to some back-end functions also. So it's not only the vertical growth, it's also the horizontal growth. And we have many examples in our company where people have grown within the system.
Fantastic.
And of course, we ensure that we remain at the market benchmark for the compensation also.
Okay.
As I said, it's not a dirty word, it's a great motivator for
that
sure. So those things really, and we all love our brand for sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So that's an interesting segue into my next question. You know, when I was reading about you, you said that you are in a very fashion sensitive market.
Yes.
What does the Lacoste brand do to remain ahead?
Three things. And I can actually identify those things because they relate to us very well. They resonate very well. Innovation, then technology and design.
Okay.
So when I talk about innovation, our brand is built on innovation. As I said that Mr. Anil Lacoste, the founder of the brand, actually invented Polo. And the logo on the chest was the first time in the history that it came outside a garment.
After that, of course, everyone is doing it.
Oh, of course, everybody. The Polo, etc. has been adopted by everybody. The logo has been adopted by everybody. So that has become very famous. So, but innovation is something that we still believe in. We start preparing for our ranges at least a year in advance.
I see.
And a lot of research goes into that range that will be launched a year from now.
Right.
A year from that place. So, a lot of innovative technology takes place. We have a centralized international creative director who is based out of Paris. And that person ensures that our launch is very innovative. It has to give freedom of movement. It has to give ease and convenience to the wearer who is taking our products. Apart from the innovation in products, we also keep joining hands with a lot of designers on global level.
Okay.
That brings a lot of newness, the freshness to the range also. This is about the innovations. Mm-hmm. And now when I come to technology, I think that doesn't need any narrative for today's generation. Everybody is after technology.
Yeah.
And we also believe in technology. But just to add a word of caution here. When I say technology, it doesn't mean that that's the end objective.
Okay.
That's only a means to achieve the end objective. The end objective is customer delight. So unless and until we direct our technological efforts in a way that syncs well with the brand's DNA, we will not go for each and every kind of a technology. We have started our CRM. We were one of the first ones who started our own e-com website online. We have recently started omni-channel also.
Okay.
Even in our marketing efforts, we use a lot of digital marketing. In fact, 97% of our total local marketing budget goes into digital marketing today.
Wow, that's big.
But at the same time, I would still say that technology is something we're still in learning phase. There is a lot to learn and a lot to do there. Finally, as I said, design. Now, if I say Lacoste, everybody knows we are known for strict, clean-cut design codes. We ensure that our products must ensure freedom of movement. They should be, when a customer buys our product, he should feel that he is having an urban look, a French chic. Those kind of things are imbibed within the products. Design is not restricted only to the products. Even the stores, whether the physical stores or the online stores, we ensure that they are fitted out in such a manner that the customer can walk freely. And the store gives the center stage to the product.
Okay.
So those kind of designs,
Yes.
I think, are very, very important. These three things put together have really brought a lot of customers. We have a lot of loyal customer set who keep coming back to our stores for value for money, for all those things.
So I'm personally a very great believer in your brand. I use your full sleeves t-shirts a lot,
Oh,
especially
I'm
as
so
the
glad to know
weather
that.
changes. But my question on innovation is that do you also do innovation on fabric? Because
A
I'm not seeing
lot.
a lot of fabric coming out
A lot.
which helps against sweat.
A lot. In fact, Lacoste, one is it is famous for our iconic polo. That polo is made out of a fabric. The fabric is made of a yarn, which is a specialized yarn specifically made for Lacoste.
Okay.
Now, that fabric we've been using for very long, and that fabric has been proved to be one of the most comfortable fabric on human body. The skin feels happy once you
Okay.
wear our iconic polo.
Right.
Apart from that, we keep on playing with our fabric every season. So even the polo that I am wearing today, this is made of a specific yarn, which makes it, of course, there's a lycra mix in this. So it makes the fit very, very nice, apart from the comfort that I'm having wearing any of the Lacoste garments. Then we have a lot of mix of different fabric and different yarn that brings innovation to the forefront.
Very interesting. So, you know, over the last 2 or 3 decades, the consumer has been changing dramatically. You know,
Majorly.
Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, millennials, you know, the so-called alphabet soup.
Yeah.
How have the consumer preferences started to change with regard to
Sure.
clothes?
Okay. So, first of all, I would just like to give a brief background on how the consumers have changed over the period of time. And in
Okay.
fact, as you said, the last 2 decades. Just before that, you and I would both remember that if we want a garment, if let's say if I wanted a shirt, I would buy fabric from a nearby retailer.
Get
Then
yeah.
I would go to a trustworthy tailor
Taylor,
and I would get
absolutely.
it stitched, fitted to my choice.
Correct.
But what changed after, say, year 2000, our IT, the IT guys, they started traveling abroad. They got exposed, they got disposable income. Now, because of that, in India also, a lot of preferences started changing. Consumer got exposed to global market because of three things. One is internet, media, and their own travel.
Correct.
Coupled with that, they also had higher disposable income now. Now, what they started demanding, and rightfully so, they wanted a global standard quality product in India also, if they're willing to invest. That has changed significantly over a long period of time, over the last 2 decades. And that's when a lot of other brands, international brands, started coming to India because there was a demand.
Okay.
So they started coming to India. Over the last few years, apart from e-com, which provides, I'm not talking about discounting, etc., but that provides a lot of convenience. You can buy anything, anywhere, and you can have it delivered at your place or wherever you want. That has changed the customer's perspective completely. That now they rightfully demand more services from the retailers. And one thing that's really changed over a period of time is the customer service. Customer service is what can make or mar your business. If you really want the customers to come back to you again and again and taking the price and the quality of the product as given, you ensure that your customers are given the right kind of great customer service.
So, one more question on e-commerce.
Sure.
Every brand and is spending a lot of money, you know, promoting their brands on the digital platforms, and you said you're doing the same. What will e-commerce do to the brick and mortar stores?
I think if you had asked me about 5 years ago, then my answer would have been different, because at that time, everybody was talking about online versus offline. But if you see in the last 1 to 2 years, the narrative has completely changed. Now, nobody talks about online versus offline.
Okay.
Now, everybody is online and offline.
I see.
It is well established now that these are two different channels of distribution. They're wonderful channels of distribution. In a country like India, there is no way that offline can go away. But at the same time, people would love to buy from online also. If you go to good malls today, you will always find them that they're full jam-packed mall. At the same time, online revenues are also growing very fast.
Absolutely.
Online players are also learning that now they have to start ensuring and capitalizing on those parameters for which online is built. And that is ease, that is convenience. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily on pricing and predatory pricing. So when we go online, we don't give a penny of discount other than end of season sale. And that's exactly the same that what we are giving on an offline store.
Okay.
So the consumer gets the best of both the worlds, whether he wants online or offline. Both the channels of distribution will grow very fast. And that's my belief. One very good thing that online has done for us. So we follow a selective distribution network where we choose, as I said, very, very carefully. But there is a lot of TG that we have in other parts of India also.
Okay.
We are not able to reach out to them physically because we don't have a point of sale there. But because of online, whether our own website, lacoste.in, or through some select online players that we have joined, we are able to reach out to those customers also. And we get very good response from some of the markets where we are not physically present.
Okay.
So online and offline, I firmly believe they will go hand in hand. Beautiful channels of distribution.
Correct.
So they will continue to grow.
Wonderful. So Rajesh, moving to the next segment of our show, which is some questions for you personally.
Okay.
What are the three adjectives that would define your strengths?
Okay. So that reminds me of one of my past bosses who used to tell me that, Rajesh, you have a very good EQ, emotional quotient.
Correct.
And apart from your hard work and ethical work practices, these three things put together, they are your biggest assets.
Wonderful.
And I feel, I tend to agree with him.
Yeah.
These things, I consider them as my personal assets.
Fantastic. So you're probably right, because a high EQ is what helps you to build such a strong management team.
Absolutely.
And retain them.
Yes, that's true.
Fantastic. Rajesh, do you have any superstitions?
Okay. Not exactly.
Okay.
Not superstition. I don't have any superstition whatsoever. However, what I personally believe in, and I strongly believe in the fact that hard work and destiny, unless and until you have a very good balanced combination of them, you cannot grow.
Okay.
And I feel destiny also plays an equal part in your hard work. The more hard work you do, the luckier you become.
Correct.
So luck alone cannot work. Hard work alone cannot work. So that's my take on superstitions or destiny or whatever you say.
That's very, very well said. So next question to you is, when was the last time you did something for the first time? And I'm asking you this because, you know, all of us in the corporate world are so caught up with our day-to-day routine. Before I ask all my guests, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
I do it every day.
Okay.
The reason why I say that I do it every day is that even if I'm doing repeated things again and again, I take an example. I started working as CEO of this company about 10 years ago. And when I went to look out for my first door, I personally go to each and every place. Even today, when I go to look for a door, I feel as excited as I was on my first visit.
Okay.
So this is something new. Every door is the first door for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, when I'm talking to you, and as we know that we keep participating in a lot of forums, we keep interviewing, keep giving interviews to different TVs, it's, other guys, journalists also. But honestly speaking, I'm feeling as excited chatting with you today when I was doing this for the first time.
Wonderful.
So I think that I am doing the thing for the first time every day. Now, having said that, I would just like to pick up a couple of things that we really changed for the first time in our business. So recently we started Omnichannel. This was for the first time, and that gave me a lot of excitement. We were the first ones to start, one of the very first ones to start online business for the first time. That was the first time. Currently, I'm involved with upgrading our entire plant and machinery after a considerable gap. That is for the first time.
Wow.
So a lot of these efforts, a lot of these things that we keep doing it, apart from the repeated work, they not only keep me engaged, and when I talk about the team, I think my team is also in the similar mode. And that keeps all of us engaged because we are doing everything for the first time, even if we are
Fantastic.
doing it repeatedly.
Fantastic. So the next question is something, a question I ask everybody, because we get a lot of feedback from young people who watch us, and they just assume that successful people like you haven't had any failures. So the question I ask everybody is, what has been your learning from some of your failures?
See, as you said, that retail, of course, has no dearth of challenges. And plus, the life obviously is ups and downs. One keeps failing, one keeps bouncing back. And I have also gone through exactly the same thing, and I keep going it. I'm sure that we continue to go through this ups and down phase throughout our life. What I think is the best learning that I have had with those challenges is what keeps you going is two things: resilience and perseverance. If I continue to remain down during my down phase and keep on crying, it will not help. I learned it pretty early in life that crying never helps. So you have to, first of all, bounce back. You have to understand this is a part of your life. And then you have to be perseverant. You have to keep on pursuing what you were pursuing if you believe in that thing. Resilience and perseverance, I think, are the two learnings, two great learnings that I have had in my life.
That's
And that are
wonderful.
really helping me out.
That's wonderful. So, any regrets?
Not exactly, not at all, actually. Not whatsoever.
None at
I
all.
think life has been kind to me. I have got what I was destined for. It's not that I wanted to become the king or anything, but whatever I am today, I'm very happy with that. Keep seeing that ups and downs in life, but that's a part of life.
I agree. I agree. So, a couple of more questions for you. A lot of young people who are watching this will be seeing you as a chartered accountant, company secretary, who's now CEO of a big brand. Is there any advice that you can give to young people who are starting their career as professional managers?
I think I can only say what I experienced, that how I could grow to the current role. One big quality, and which is ownership. I wouldn't know whether it's a quality or no, but ownership, even if you're a professional manager, don't think that you're working for somebody else. Consider that this is your own business. You have limited supply of money, you have limited supply of funds, and you have to best utilize those funds. In fact, just to give you an example, we doubled our turnover after I took over with the help of the entire team. We doubled our turnover in just 3 years, and we doubled our number of point of sales in just 4 years. And we did all this thing with internal accruals and debt only. We did not take a penny of equity from the shareholders.
Amazing.
All this came from the ownership that I and my team had at that time. That continues to make you committed towards work. I personally believe that the growth, money, all those things are incidental. They will come automatically. You don't even have to look at those things. They automatically come provided you have the ownership of the work you are doing.
And my final question, because you said ownership, along with ownership comes a lot of accountability.
Of course.
How do you and all your team members handle
So
accountability?
we own this ownership. When I say it's complete ownership, I'm not talking about ownership of success. I'm saying, actually, I'm talking about ownership of that accountability of the challenges. We believe that first of all, let me also give you one of my thought process, and which I think most of my team members share, that we are very, very thankful to our challenges. We believe that if there were no challenges, nobody would engage us. If there are no challenges, people at junior levels would run any company. So if there are challenges that make us engaged in this company, And that is the biggest ownership all of us have. Okay. We own those challenges. We own that accountability. We are very clear that in our team, if something is going wrong in the function, that the head of the department owns that. Anything that goes wrong anywhere in the country, anywhere in the company, sorry, I own that.
Okay.
I cannot say that it's not my problem or he did it or the environment is such. Even when we were not growing because of this e-com discounting, I completely own it. Because it's my problem. If I am heading the company, I have to own all the challenges and accountability.
Rajesh, thank you very much. It's been fantastic talking to you. I sincerely hope in the next 3 years, not only will you double your doors to over 100, but I hope you double your revenue all over again.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh. And as always, I'm very happy chatting with you, meeting you. Very, very thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.